chapter 19. All right, John chapter 19. We're going to start. Verses 28 through 30. John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do ask that you would please guide us this hour. Lord, bless our time. Bless, obviously, Father, your word. You promised that it would not return void, but it would accomplish that which you intend it to accomplish. And Father, we want it to accomplish things in our hearts tonight. And Father, I ask that, again, that you would guide us according to your will. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each of your people. Father, continue to guide us in our life. And Lord, just as I think about people that are facing different difficulties in their life, even at this hour, I pray, Lord, you give your people, Lord, just the comfort, the peace that passes all understanding. I pray, Father, you would continue to, Lord, just help all of your people to faithfully follow on, no matter how hard things get, no matter how sometimes we don't understand why things happen. I pray, Father, you would help us just to always keep our focus and faith on you, knowing that you've never led us astray. You've never allowed anything that was not a part of your will in our life. And, Father, we just thank you for your grace and your faithfulness and ask that you would please bless our time together tonight. And, Lord, I just ask our hearts would be drawn to you in a very special way tonight, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're very familiar, obviously, with what's going on in Scripture here. This is obviously the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it's at the end, and he says some very powerful words. Those three words that he cries out, it is finished. And just think, you know, when Jesus speaks, there's power behind the words that he speaks. I think about when he asked for the stone to be rolled away there at the tomb where Lazarus was buried, and he just spoke, Lazarus, come forth, and he that was dead, life was revived in his body. He came out. He had been dead for 4 days. Remember, his sister even told Jesus, by now he stinketh, the decay, all that was setting in. But yet the words of Jesus Christ are so powerful, even powerful enough to calm the fears of hearts and to wipe away the tears of eyes. You think about Mary there at the tomb, and just crying because the body of Christ was gone. She didn't know what had happened. But when she heard her name being said by Christ, Mary, Mary, boy, it totally changed everything. I mean, she rejoiced. She was weeping. Now she was rejoicing. But these words, it is finished, mean so much more than just the accomplishment of God's will at Calvary. It means a whole lot more in the life of every believer. Because when Jesus cried out, it is finished, man, the veil was rent from top to bottom. We now have access to the Father. We can go directly into the Father. And what a wonderful thing that is. And just, you know, the relationship that we have with the Father and our sins being paid for. And just the victories that we have over sin in our life. And the fact that the Lord gives us those victories. I mean, it is finished. Where the devil thought that he had won, Jesus cries out, it is finished, because he's the victor. And we have victory through Jesus Christ. Tonight, I just want to remind us of a few things based on what Jesus says, it is finished. Again, thinking about just many things that just encompasses, again, not just him fulfilling the Father's will and accomplishing dying for the sins of the world, but the fact that you and I, our own personal sin is paid for. And just thinking about that, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 53. Just a few things I want to look at tonight on a Wednesday just to encourage us, because many times, you know, again, we do need encouragement as we live in this world that obviously is not promoting Christ, but obviously there are those in this world that do promote Christ and that preach the gospel, that, again, no matter what happens, I was reading an email from another pastor, that one of his blogs that I get weekly, and he was talking about just the persecution of Christians, the persecution of churches, and just even how, you know, even during COVID-19 last year, where, you know, they wanted churches to close, they wanted assemblies to close, and, you know, we did for a little bit, you know, just to be safe, you know, but then we opened right back up a few weeks later. You know, I don't remember how many weeks now, but we weren't closed too long. And, but he was talking about these pastors that are in Canada that are sitting in jail even tonight because they refuse to shut their doors. And one pastor, again, you know, he refused to shut his doors. They showed up, and they had pretty much roped off or gated off the church property where they couldn't get in. So they decided, the pastor decided, you know, we're not going to stop assembling. So they met in a secret place, you know, outside. And it just lets you know that, you know, persecution is alive and well, even in, you know, the Western Hemisphere. They sent a helicopter looking for them. And they found them, and they went to the pastor's home and arrested him later on because they had found where they were secretly assembling. Now listen, what causes us to continue being faithful to God? These words right here, it is finished. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a God who is our life and should be our life. We believe in what is true, and that is that Jesus Christ brings salvation. He paid the sin debt. He can change a life, and he's the head of the church. He's the head of the church, not the state, not the government, but Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And why I bring that up is because what would cause you to stop being faithful? What would cause you, and we have to really ask ourselves this question, what would cause me to stop going to church, stop reading my Bible? Would it be because it has become a law? Or I'm being forced to, I'm being bullied by some higher authority? You know, as I was reading this article about these two pastors, and there are more in Canada that are facing the same outcome for being faithful to their God, I couldn't help but to think, you know what? What's helping not only the pastor, but those people that are wanting to assemble to be faithful? It is because of their risen Savior. It is finished. Their sins have been paid for. So, again, when days get tough, we have to remind ourselves, you know what? We're on the winning side. Christ said, it is finished. There's no more chains, no more bondage in our life as far as being chained and bound by sin. You're there in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. It says, but he was wounded, speaking of Christ, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So you think about what Jesus willingly went through for you and for me. And when he cried out, it is finished, no doubt our sins had been paid for. The blood had been shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So when we think about what would help me to remain faithful to my Savior, and it should be these words ringing in our ears, when he cried, it is finished, your sins have been paid for. He was faithful to go to the cross, and we should be faithful to continue serving him and to continue doing what he calls us to do. It is finished. The three most powerful words that you'll ever hear or ever read in Scripture, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, it is finished. Your sin and my sin paid for. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Ephesians chapter 1. Because honestly, if someone does not wholeheartedly believe that Jesus Christ's death on the cross paid their sin debt, then they have no reason to remain faithful to him when persecution comes. And again, we may not face the persecution that many Christians around the world are facing, where they're seriously martyred for their faith because they will not rescind on their belief in Jesus Christ. But again, what would cause? And again, when you think about it, for some Christians that are weak in their faith, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to cause them to stop being faithful. But that's why the Lord tells us that we are to grow. We're to continue growing in the Lord. We're to continue allowing him to work in our life and get closer to him, knowing that, you know what? The days are evil. They're going to get more wicked. This world is going to try to, and at one point they will accomplish a one world religion. But praise the Lord that we'll be raptured out when all that stuff happens. But we still have to have the mindset that, you know what? The devil's always going to try to get us not to be faithful, not to trust the promises of God's word, and not to even think it's worth finishing the race that God's put us in. But when you really go back and you look at just Jesus, what he went through on the cross, and then him crying out, "It is finished." The fact that our sins have been paid for, but even when he cried out, "It is finished," you and I are now accepted. We're accepted by God. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at, let's see here. Look at verse number 3, verses 3 through 6. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will," God's will, "to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." So when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," not only were our sins paid for, but we became accepted in Christ because of Jesus' sacrifice. Again, there are many still trying to do good works in order to please God, but God is pleased in what Jesus Christ did. We're accepted in Jesus Christ because we're robed in his righteousness. So yeah, I mean, I know there are some Christians that struggle with loneliness, they struggle with depression for various reasons. But if we will continue to think about Jesus Christ and what he went through, and again, him crying out, "It is finished," then he paved the way. He reconciled us unto God. He brought us into fellowship with God again. We are accepted in Christ. God accepts us because of Jesus Christ. And that should help every Christian who is struggling to understand that God accepts you because of Jesus Christ. But again, the devil still wants to get into our minds and cause us to think that, you know, we're the losers, causes us to think that God's power is not sufficient, his grace is not sufficient. But when you think about just the blood atonement, when you think about what Christ went through, again, on a Wednesday in the middle of the week, I have no idea what everybody has faced so far this week, but I know that in every week there are trials and difficulties. There's things the devil wants to use to, you know, to weigh heavy upon us and cause us just to, you know, just give up and just, you know, I'm just going to try to make it and not worry about anything else. But you think about the fact that what Jesus went through, who did he do that for? Who did he go to the cross for? You, me. Not just the world, but personally, me. And that should help each child of God, each believer, to be able to keep trusting God, to keep moving forward, and to really give them hope and encouragement in their spirit that God is still on the throne and that God always does right and he'll always lead us in the right way. I want you to look with me at Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. The third thing I think of that Jesus, when he cried out, "It is finished," is obviously that he gave us victory over. He didn't just pay for our sin, but he gave us victory over sinful habits. Gave us victory over sinful habits. In Romans chapter 6, because again, Romans 6, 6, the devil wants God's people to believe that they're still in bondage. That they're still, you know, they're still under his thumb and under his authority. But they're not. Again, it's all a mind game with the devil. It's a mind game to cause God's people to think that they're defeated, that they have no victory. But again, when you think about Jesus crying out, "It is finished," and honestly, I would even, you know, encourage us to just meditate on those three words and let God speak to your heart, because I only have a few things to talk about tonight, but there is so much more, obviously, in your own personal life that God would show you what Christ has done for you just in those three words, "It is finished." But obviously, he's given us victory over sinful habits. In Romans 6, 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, again, the devil wants the old man to rise up. He wants to bring up the past. He wants people to live in the past. That's why Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind." Because if we're always focused on the past and focused on the failures and all the things that we messed up and that were out of our control, that we would never move forward. We would never have victory because we would be focused on those things behind. But when Jesus died on the cross, he broke sin's hold. And when we trusted Christ as our Savior, the old man died. And we can and do have victory in Jesus Christ. So when he cried out, "It is finished," obviously us putting our faith and trust in him, I mean, that day that you and I put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work, and the chains were broken. We became new creatures in Christ. And just again, as we continue to live in this sin-cursed world, and as the world gets worse and worse and worse, we can't allow ourselves to become distraught over what's happening in the world or to think, the devil's got the upper hand. I love the fact that when you think about it, the devil is just a puppet on God's strings. God's given him some space. He's given him some time, but God's still in control. And God will always be in control. And we have victory over sinful habits, things that would cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved, things that would cause us not to be blessed. Again, what are those sinful habits? Again, I think often when we think about sin and we think about sinful habits, we think about the things that, you know, we know people are doing and all the drinking, the drugs, the pornography. I mean, all the, I'll say hardcore sin, but sin is sin. Even unbelief is sin. Because the Bible tells us whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So someone who has allowed themselves to be bound up with fear, they're sinning against God, who has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. So when you think about victory over sinful habits, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us individually. Otherwise, I mean, I would have a list that I probably wouldn't have enough pages to write them on. But when we think about our life individually, And we think about Jesus Christ hanging on the cross and why he did that and crying out, "It is finished." I'm glad that he cried out, "It is finished." I praise the Lord that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Father's will. He has the keys of death and hell. I don't have to fear death. Death is just a doorway into heaven for the child of God, for the believer. But we still have to rely on the Lord each and every day. We still have to rest in the peace of God and allow God to work in our life and allow the Lord to continue transforming us as his will has been since the foundation of the world. I mean, he predestinated us to be conformed into the image of Christ. I want you to look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, a verse that you can definitely quote. Probably wouldn't have to look at the pages, but I want you to look there anyway. Because again, as we think about Jesus crying out, "It is finished," the fact that you and I can experience Christ in us. I mean, when that veil was rent from top to bottom, it didn't just give us a way into the Holy of Holies and be able to come boldly, before the throne of grace. But it also ushered in the Holy Spirit residing in every believer, Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And Galatians 2:20, one of my favorite verses and probably yours as well. As Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ." Again, the old man is crucified. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Just that wonderful relationship. When he cried out, "It is finished," now Jesus was going to reside in every believer, that he would walk with us, just as he walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fiery furnace. Just as I believe he was with Daniel in the den of lions. Now he's with us. Now he abides with us. I mean, when he cried out, "It is finished," I mean, it meant so much more. The most important thing, sin had been paid for, the blood had been shed, but then the blessings of his relationship with us, his abiding in us. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It is finished. He was able to cry that out because of the love of the Father, loving us and giving himself for us. Where Jesus Christ was willing to come and be that sacrifice, to be that lamb, as John the Baptist cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world." He cried out, "It is finished." You can imagine just the power of that voice. Because then there was the earthquake. There were graves, the tombs that opened up, and dead were alive and walked. Again, the veil was rent from top to bottom. Even the fact that centurion standing there watching everything said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." I mean, when he cried out, I mean, you can imagine just the power behind those words. Because when he spoke, there was power, there was authority. Because remember, in the beginning of his ministry, when he went to this one synagogue and he read the scriptures, the people marveled. They were stunned and they were in awe because they said among themselves, "Man, he reads, he speaks, not like the scribes." I mean, there's power behind what he says. There's passion behind what he says because he's the living word. I mean, he was reading his own word. "I'm crucified with Christ. The fact is, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Again, I mean, we have an adversary that wants us to think at different times that we're forsaken, that God doesn't care. And sometimes we have to put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples and think about, you know, you read where they're on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is not with them. He sent them before him. He told them to go on. He'd send the people away. He went up into the mountain to pray. And Jesus could see them on the Sea of Galilee struggling in the storm that Jesus knew was coming. And he would go, and obviously he would walk on the water, and Peter would go walk on the water. But when Jesus would get in the boat, when Jesus was with them, there's peace. Even the other time where, you know, they're frantically rowing and bailing out water, and then they go to Jesus and they say, "Carest thou not?" I think sometimes some of God's people struggle with being assured in their hearts that God does care, because they're faced with difficulties, they're faced with these what seems like a storm that's just out of control, and they want out of it and they can't get out of it. They know Christ is with them, but it seems like nothing's happening for good, and they question whether or not God really cares about what state they're in at that moment. And obviously when Jesus rises up, he kind of rebukes them for their lack of faith, "Oh, ye of little faith," but then he turns to the storm and says, "Peace be still." And think about that. I mean, there are times where our faith may be weak. It may not be as strong as it should be. And we go to the Lord and he remembers our frame is but dust. He knows that he knows the struggles that we have. He knows the temptations of wavering whether or not God cares or not. And we'd never say that. But you think about just the Lord just, "Oh, ye of little faith," but then turning and causing a great peace. But even with Peter walking on water, the storm didn't stop until he got in the boat with them. But Peter had peace after sinking and then Jesus rising him up out of that water and walking with him back to the boat. I mean, there's just a peace walking with the Lord. So when you think about when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." In fact, not only our sins were paid for, but being accepted in Christ because we're the children of God now. We've been born into the family of God. And having victory over sinful habits and Jesus living within us, giving us that inner peace that we need and that inner assurance and confidence that we are on the winning side, that God does look after us and God watches over us and guards us and protects us and allows things in our life at different times to strengthen our faith and help us to learn and to be able to apply scripture to our life. But then I want you to look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. "Because it is finished, we can trust truly the love of God." Romans chapter 8 in verse 32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" So again, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" And again, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." He sent Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the world because of his love. And if he'll do that, then what is it that he will not do for us that's in the center of his will? Now, we often can't see God's purposes behind our suffering, but Christ's sacrifice on the cross should silence any doubt that God is love or that his love can be trusted. I mean, God is love, but his love in our hearts, in our lives, and towards us should help us to understand that it is finished. That God has the perfect plan and purpose for our life. That no matter what we face in life and face on a daily basis, Christ is with us. He gives us the victory. He gives us the ability to be able to face the storms because we're facing it with his grace, his strength, and his mercy. And we know that he will bring us through those storms. And there'll be blessings on the other side. And you think about at the end of a storm, seeing a rainbow. I mean, kids always love seeing rainbows. I mean, when there's a rainbow and the kids see it, there's a rainbow, come look at it. I mean, they're excited. I remember being a kid too, and after a good thunderstorm down in Mississippi, and you see that big rainbow, you just stare at it. I mean, you just can't help because, I mean, as a child of God, you know what that rainbow represents. It doesn't represent what the world wants it to represent. What it represents is the promise of God. And that God's kept his promise since the first rainbow. That he's never flooded the entire earth again to destroy all mankind. This also reminds us of his love. That rainbow. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ, also freely give us all things? We can trust the love of God. Obviously, sometimes parents will say love hurts when they're having to discipline their child. I love you. When they're having to discipline their child. The child doesn't understand what love, then you wouldn't be disciplining me, even though they did something wrong. But see, God's love is that he doesn't want us to wreck our lives. You think about the prodigal son. Some may say, well, the father didn't try hard enough to keep his son from ruining his life. No, sometimes people have to learn the hard way. And it's not that the Heavenly Father is unloving, but sometimes people are just determined to do what they want to do. And the Father says, okay. The people in the Old Testament, they wanted quail. They abhorred what God had given them. They were tired of manna. God says, okay, I'll give you quail. And the Bible says that he brought a manifold, I mean, he brought a feast of quail. I mean, so much. And yet the Bible says that while the Bible says while the fattest of them, those that were the most lustful, the most covetous, the ones that despised God's manna the most, while they were yet eating their quail, they choked and died. I mean, God gave them what they wanted, but then he had to discipline them. And you know, you think about the prodigal son, it's not that the father was wishing and hoping that something bad would happen to his son. But he knew that if the son got to the end of himself and got to a place where he could honestly understand that the world is not friendly, the world is not going to promote God's people and give God's people what they want. The world's going to chew people up and spit them out. But what happened? When the prodigal son got to the pig pen, then his understanding came back to him. God the Father allowed him to understand, you know, I was better off at home. I was better off with God. I was better off walking in the ways of the Lord. The prodigal son understood the love of the Father. And he experienced the love of the Father when he started heading home. And the father saw him afar off, and the father went to him. Didn't scold him. I mean, many times, the Lord, when we do something wrong, the Lord just lovingly reminds us and corrects us. Again, when you go through scripture, look how Jesus just dealt with people. Sure, Jesus, he would scold the religious rulers who knew better and should have known the word of God and weren't truly living the word of God or teaching people to follow God. But when he was dealing with the common people, when he was dealing with the day-to-day people, the crowds, well, he was loving. I mean, the woman there caught in adultery and the accusers bring her before Jesus and say, hey, the law says she must die. What do you say? I'm glad that grace was there on that day. And the love of the Father who went through the motions, writing in the sand, and then all the accusers left because they were convicted in their hearts, and Jesus rises up and says, where are thine accusers? They're not here. And he says, well, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. I mean, just the love and the grace. And we can trust the love of the Father. Last place I want you to look at is Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Every single child of God, your born-again believer, has a message to take to those that God has allowed into our life. Because Jesus said, it is finished, there's a message. There's a wonderful message for the entire world, but especially those that are in our life and surrounding our life, family, friends, co-workers, everyone that we come across. In Matthew chapter 28, look with me at verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. The angel told the women, first of all, not to fear, but then said, go tell. Go tell the disciples that he's risen. And that's the message that we have today, that the love of the Father sent his Son, Christ, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world. And when he cried out, it is finished, the sins were paid for. The veil was rent. The love of the Father was manifested. And the love of the Father continues to be manifested in our life. And there's sin no longer has power over us other than what we give and yield to that sin. But we have this message of hope that the world needs, this message of peace and love, this message that you are loved. Again, many, many young people, and I'm hoping, I know for a fact, if you would, I'll mention this again, but pray for the youth that are gathering together on Saturday, and because there is someone that's going to be here. There's one of our church, I'll say kids, that has invited one of their friends who we know has suffered from depression. And we want to be a blessing, and we have that message, the message of hope, the message of peace, the message of love. But you think about it, when you think about the words, it is finished, very powerful words, most powerful words that we can ever think about. It is finished, cried out by Jesus Christ. Your life is now complete. My life is complete. Other lives can be complete with Christ in it. The fact that he gives us the victory over the devil, the victory over sin. The fact that you and I can have peace that passeth all understanding and have a calmness, even when facing death. I mean, I'll mention the name when we take up prayer requests, but I know of someone they've been told you've got cancer, and he said, I'm ready to go home. I mean, he's looking forward to going home, and he's been a pastor. He's been a friend. I mean, he's just been faithful to the Lord. He just has, I mean, just this great, there's just this great testimony, you know. And just think about, it is finished. Think about just the wonderful relationship. I guess that's what I want us to think about tonight, this wonderful relationship that we've been allowed to have because of Christ. Because of Christ. We have this relationship because of Christ. We have this victory because of Christ. We have this hope, this peace, this love because of Christ. And there's nothing that we cannot do without Christ. He strengthens us and helps us each and every day.